Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we talk about the work of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus put it in the Gospel of John, chapter 16. Let's pray. O God, our Helper, by your Spirit, open our minds, that as the Scriptures are read and your Word is proclaimed, we may be led into your truth and taught your will, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm reading from the Gospel of John, and it's from the NIV, chapter 15, verse 26 to 27, and then from chapter 16, verse 4 to 15. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. And then in John chapter 16, I have told you this, said Jesus, so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. When the Holy Spirit was poured out on the followers of Jesus on the day of Pentecost, it marked the birth of a group of people who would be the core of what would come to be known as the Church. The Greek word for the Church is ecclesia, which means the called out ones. The Church entered into God's mission that very day, as about 3,000 or more people were added to it. But the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was not simply a transaction that was meant only to replace Jesus. It was indeed a comfort to the disciples to know that through the sending of the Holy Spirit, he would be with his people always. But it was more than that. It was necessary, because God the Holy Spirit was to apply the atonement that Jesus had made for the sin of humanity to those whom God would save. It was also necessary that God would be with his people and indwell his people in a way never before experienced under the Old Covenant, where back then only certain people received an impartation of the Spirit for specific tasks. And so on the day of Pentecost, God fulfilled a promise that was essential to the establishment of the New Covenant and the closing of the Old, as prophesied by Joel in chapter 2, verse 28 to 29, where it says, "And afterward I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days." The Holy Spirit therefore works in his Church, meaning all those who God has saved through the atoning work of Jesus on the cross, so that they may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, for the purpose of being a witness in the world. What happens when we are an effective witness in the world? I will touch on this along the way as we continue. In the meantime, see what Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 8 to 11, speaking of the Holy Spirit. He said, "When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. in regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer, and in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. In these few verses, Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit in relation to the world rather than to the disciples. Thus, the Spirit, who was counselor, not a therapist or guidance counselor, but a legal advocate for the disciples, becomes, in the words of one commentator, prosecuting attorney against the world, assuring the disciples and us that for those who are not saved, God will in the end convict and judge them. This is especially helpful when we think of the many misdeeds that occur while justice is defied. There are thus three very important things that the Holy Spirit will do, as Jesus said. And these things are done in the world as God sovereignly wills, but his mission is expressed primarily through his church and its life in the world. For this reason, the church is called to live in integrity and faith before God, so that the work of conviction, which is a work of bringing the light of the gospel to bear under the power of the Holy Spirit, may take place in the hearts of men and women. Let's consider each of those points. First, in verse 9, we see that the Holy Spirit will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of one particular sin, the sin of not believing or unbelief. In John chapter 3, verse 18, Jesus put it this way: "Whoever believes in him," that is Jesus, "is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Now, the law of God and the consciences of human beings together will convict the sinner of his or her sins, plural, specifically, which really has bearing on believers, that is, followers of Jesus. But it is the work of the Spirit, through the witness of the believers, to expose the unbelief of the lost for the sake of salvation. It is primarily unbelief that condemns the lost sinner, meaning to not believe in the gospel, not the commission of individual sins. As such, it is futile for a person to clean up his or her life and quit his or her bad habits in the hope that this will be good enough. They remain lost. People need to understand their lost condition. We then are the hands and feet and the voice declaring the gospel to a dying world. As we do this, the Holy Spirit will do the rest, will convict of sin, will show people the true extent to which they are lost, so that they might believe. And that brings us to the second thing, that the Holy Spirit will convict the world of guilt in regard to righteousness. There is no doubt that the world's idea of righteousness is very different from God's. Only when the world is convicted of the emptiness of its own righteousness will it appreciate the righteousness of Christ, which has been vindicated by his exaltation to the right hand of the Father in heaven. So, the primary thought is that when the Holy Spirit convicts the world in regard to righteousness, it is to make the unsaved world or people aware that their sense of righteousness simply will not do. As Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." It is when people behold the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, they will be in a position to surrender their all to him. While this was not immediately the case with Peter, in Luke chapter 5, verse 8, when he witnesses the miracle of the huge catch of fish at the instruction of Jesus, he understands he is in the presence of one whose righteousness exceeded anything he knew up to that point, and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Yet, when Jesus was here on earth, he was accused by men of being a blasphemer, a lawbreaker, a deceiver, and even possessed by a demon. He then ascended into heaven where the world would no longer see him. His righteousness is vindicated by God and is now revealed through his church. The Spirit of God reveals Christ the Saviour in the world. The Spirit also reveals Christ in the lives of believers. The world cannot receive or see the Spirit of God, but they can see how Christ's righteousness affects the lives of God's people, those who have believed. And they will see how their sense of righteousness rings hollow in the light of the Holy Spirit. Of course, much is still to be done, for the church is set upon every side, and even from within, its witness tarnished by all sorts of scandal. But God will clean up his church and rid it of lies, heresy, money-grabbing preachers, and the like. And this brings us to the third thing, that the Holy Spirit will convict the world of guilt in regard to judgment. The world's sense of judgment is wrong, because it is based on the principles of the prince of this world, Satan. The unsaved believe that this is all we have and there is nothing beyond this life. But since Satan is condemned through the death and resurrection of Jesus, the world's method of judging matters is equally condemned along with him. Because Satan is a defeated enemy and has already been judged, the verdict announced, all that must take place is the executing of the sentence, and that will all occur when Jesus returns. So in the meantime, when the Holy Spirit convicts the lost sinner of judgment, effectively the reality that sin cannot be fixed or dissolved by our own efforts, along with the grounds of self-righteousness we thought we stood on, being swiftly eroded by God's holiness and righteousness, all compounded in the light of God's perfect and just scrutiny, serves to reveal our helpless condition and our great need for forgiveness, a righteousness in Christ, as well as relief from impending judgment. When a lost sinner is truly under conviction, he will see the recklessness and evil of unbelief. He will confess that he does not measure up to the righteousness of Christ, and he will realize that he is under condemnation because he belongs to the world and the devil, who is already judged. For this reason, it was necessary for the Holy Spirit to come and indwell the church. The Spirit's presence in our lives is not just for us and our personal experiences, but that God's people would minister to the world and be a witness to the atoning work of Jesus on the cross. To be that witness requires a sound understanding of Scripture, faith, faithfulness to God and to the family of God, the church, as well as faithfulness in prayer, without which we will have very little to offer. So may God help us in our walk with him. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know that you have provided fully for our salvation. There is nothing more for us to do but to cling to the cross and trust in the atoning work of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Help us so to live that others who do not know you will come under the convincing power of the Holy Spirit and then run to you, the only one who has the words of eternal life. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.